sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Wow. Episode 160. Oh, 160. Drug dealers, thugs, and killers. Today's, we'll be reading from the book of Machiavelli. Hey, you kids need to shut the fuck up in the background. All right. From the book of Machiavelli, chapter Blasphemy. It goes like this. My family tree consists of drug dealers, thugs, and killers. Struggling, known to hustle, screaming, fuck they feelings. I got advice from my father. All he told me was this. Nigga, get off your ass if you want to be rich. There's 10 rules to the game, but I'll share with you two. No, niggas gonna hate you for whatever you do.
Message.
Now, rule one, get your cash on, MOB. That's money over bitches because they breed envy. Now, rule two is a hard one. Watch for phonies. Keep your enemy close.
Message.
Niggas watch your homies. It seemed a little unimportant when he told me I smiled, pictured jewels being handed to an innocent child. I never knew in this lifetime I'd live by these rules. Initiated as an outlaw, studying rules. Now Papa ain't around, so I gotta recall or come to grips with being written on my enemy's walls. Oh, man. Promised, if I have a seed, I'm gonna guide him right. Dear Lord, don't let me die tonight. I got words for my comrade. Listen and learn. Ain't nothing free. Get back what you earn. No doubt. Getting higher than a motherfucker. Bless me, please. This thug life is gonna be the death of me. Oh, my God. My fuck. Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Just go. All right, sit the fuck down. All right, okay, I got to get through this this episode. All right, hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com and a.k.a. La Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Now, before I start the show, shout out to those of you who are listening to this podcast for the first time or by mistake. But I need to give you a heads up, especially if you're white. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 27, 2024. Sorry. If I'm acting confused, it's because I could have sworn I was watching. Yeah, okay. March 27, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck White as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That's right. I said fuck you too. All right, all right. Okay, I'm doing this on an empty stomach, so I'm gonna rush this before I become the worst version of myself on this podcast. All right. Okay, so traditionally, what I like to do for you new listeners to help you get familiarized with my podcast or the way things go down on this show is I like to break down my episodes into three parts or acts. The first act is the introduction or intro. The second act is using random thoughts. Last act is final thoughts. Now, in the introduction, I've played the theme, said the name, the title of today's episode, recited some poetry that will relate to the final thoughts. Stick around. And greeted you and gave you some parents' advice, you know, and parental advisory on the kind of podcast this is, you know. There's going to be some fucking cussing in there. But it's not the kids that I'm worried about. It's if you're a white person who suffers from white fragility, this podcast ain't for you. Seriously, I don't want to read the emails, all right? Who are you going to make you think about race? All right, okay. We're going to have fun, gang. We have to have fun. Oh, yeah. Another thing I like to do in the intro before I end the intro is I like to share some quotes or a quote. And this one hit hard. And it relates to the final thoughts. Actually, it relates to the overall theme of my podcast. Or it speaks to the overall theme of this podcast. And it goes like this. It says, you'll never know who you are unless you shed who you pretend to be. God damn it. And the author is Veronica Tugaleva. Yeah, that sounds more like a Tugaleva. English is my second language, so I struggle here. If I were to read this in French, that's called Tugaleva. Yeah, you know what? Tugaleva sounds more sense. It makes more sense. Author, poet, and activist. And here's hoping that all around decent, cool person. I mean, I'm just saying, guess the race. That name does not sound like a black person's name. All right. this concludes intro. Now let's move on to news and random thoughts, okay? Okay, you ready? You comfortable? Yeah, you ready to get the show going? All right, let's go. Yeah, that last sound is how I separate my the X. Okay, news and random thoughts. Okay, check that out, man. I think in this particular one, we got more news than actual random thoughts. But it doesn't matter. Okay, first one. This topic was inspired after listening to an episode of New York Daily Podcast. Every once in a while they get it. You know, I'll confess, man. I enjoy their podcast. It's very informative. And anyways, let me just get to the point because I'm not trying to spend a lot of time here. Hold on a second. Yeah. Terrorist attack in Russia, March 25th episode. Now I remember why I was confused about today's date. I've been staring at that date for a long time. And that's why when I was saying today's date, I was about to say March 25th, but no, March 27th. Sorry, I'm going crazy. Anyways, this podcast episode by the New York Daily Podcast, is titled A Terrorist Attack in Russia. Now, I won't go into the details. Links are in the show notes. But I am going to say that, and I'm going to expose my ignorance of history, current affairs, and shit like that. But I got to tell you, man, when I heard about a terrorist attack in fucking Russia by ISIS, I'm like, what the fuck? Apparently ISIS is like, yeah, that was us. I'm like, what the fuck? Now, okay, you know what? Maybe it's the media, you know, because I do live in Canada and we pretty much whatever Americans tell us to do, we, you know, when it comes to who our enemies are, then we share the same enemy. But my point is, we got the same image of Russia being this evil empire. And I gotta tell you, man, they developed a reputation of, yeah, man, not to fuck with us. I mean, we don't do things like America. Sure, we want to convince the world that we are a free democratic, or not democratic, that we have democracy, like we elect our presidents. Sorry, just saying it makes me laugh. We want to convince the world that we're cool, but deep down inside, we'll fuck you up. I'm just saying, when I heard that ISIS, like, raised their hand and says, yeah, that was us, I'm like, the fuck for? And the thing is, they caught the, well, they claimed they caught the dude. Okay, it would really suck if they just found four brown people to pin this terrorist attack on. Oh, man. On the list of things I would not want to be reincarnated as, is someone accused of terrorism in Russia. Man, they're going to fuck those dudes up, man. Well, if they have, I mean, if they haven't already. Yeah, that trial, it's going to be a quick trial. See, this is the part, this is the moment where I would try to do a an impression of a stereotypical Russian, but I can't do it. I mean, I could, but shit. It wouldn't be funny. It'd be more offensive than funny. Anyways, my only thought in this is apparently they're claiming that ISIS is saying, hey, man, we just don't like how shit goes down what you've been doing in Afghanistan. And look, I mean, I think my point is, man, fuck a terrorist. Just go to war. Just declare war. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know. I think I'm saying it's kind of weird. I say it's one thing to terrorist attack in the United States, but in Russia. Again, I'm exposing my ignorance in this. It's just, it feels futile. Like, you're just going to, it's like pissing off a, look, I guess I'm saying, look, either you fight the bully, either you beat up the bully, or give them what they want. But there ain't no fucking in between. There ain't no, I'm going to throw toilet paper at their house. Nah, man, either you knock them down, or ain't no half-stepping. That's what I'm trying to... Look at me. I think I'm acting like America's more civil. Like America didn't have Guantanamo Bay. But, okay, you know, I think my only point to this, it was kind of weird for me to hear about a terrorist attack. You know, did it all this shit happen on the same day? Hold on, let me check. When did the Franklin Scott Bridge... Oh, that was March 26th. Okay. All right. March 26th. Yeah. But I remember not paying. Yeah. I remember, like, ignoring terrorist attack in Russia. Yeah. No. I did bring it up. I talked about it on the show. But I couldn't take it seriously. I mean, it just didn't make. Okay. Actually, when I first heard about the terrorist attack in Russia. By the way, you know, I don't want to say thoughts and prayers. I mean, like, no, I'm not being insensitive. It's fucked up. It's a shame. Like, people got killed, murdered in this thing, and it's heartbreaking. The punchline is ISIS being, yeah, that was us. And the bigger punchline is how Putin is like, Putin is trying to do a, what was that dude's name again? Bush and, what the fuck was his prime minister's name? Sorry, my brain doesn't want to cooperate with me when I need it to cooperate. I'm not going to look it up. But they're doing the Bush administration thing of, I think Putin is doing the Bush administration thing. And even though ISIS is saying, yeah, no, that was us. No, we did that shit. They're like, yeah, fucking Ukraine. Ukraine outsourced their terrorist attack by, you know what? The Daily, the podcast episode, they cover, you know, I recommend you, because I'm being ignorant right now. I recommend that I'm allowing myself to be ignorant and saying, just go to the show notes to get the full details. They'll explain it, how it'd be so weird for Ukraine to actually be involved in this terrorist attack. And these brown people. But, you know, anyways, I'm just astounded. Is that the word? Surprised. Shocked. like, I'm not jealous. I'm just saying, wait, word? Terrorist attack in, you know, I was kind of hoping, where did I read this? I was kind of hoping, I don't know, I was trying to make a link. It could be linked with Israel. I don't know why the fuck I thought it'd be, because do those still have beef? I mean, I could Google it, right? But you know what? I was kind of hoping, no, I was scared that they were going to say, oh, Hamas did this shit. Oh, fuck. What I was hoping for is basically a reason for Russia to be like, okay, that's what I was hoping for. A reason for Russia to be like, you know what? We're going to help out these Palestinians. Okay, you know, I got to be careful. Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm contradicting myself because few past episode, yeah, I hate war. I abhor it. I wish I knew a better word to say how much I hate my hatred for war. But I do hate the fact that, fuck, Palestinians are fucking, children are getting murdered with impunity. Fucking IDF soldiers are like a bunch of tough guys. You know what? They're not soldiers. They're bullies with military equipment. Picking on children. No props. No props. What about the hostage? Anyway, whatever. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. And I think as much as I hate war, I kind of want a real army to jump in on behalf of the Palestinian civilians getting slaughtered out there and be like, hey, calm the fuck back out. Back the fuck up. I want them to intervene the same way I would want the police to intervene if my neighbor was in the middle of assaulting his wife. You know what I mean? Right now, what's going on in Palestine, it's like fucking hearing my neighbor commit atrocities and I can't do shit. And the cops are like, hey, husband's got a right to defend himself. I mean, anyways. And, all right, okay. Yeah. Nothing about that was funny. Yeah, that shit wasn't funny. If you laugh, good for you, but, you know, just know you're going to hell. All right. You know, sorry, I was driving here. I was thinking of adding to my intro. Part of the requirement to be to listen to this podcast is giving up all hope of going to hell. Not that my intention is to be blasphemous, but I'm saying, yeah, we can't get along if you still hold on to the hope of ending up in hell and ending up in heaven. But all right, okay, all right. Next news: the collapse of. Speaking of other news that made me say, "What the fuck." The collapse of the bridge in Baltimore. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get... It's called the Francis Scott Key Bridge Collapse. Shout out to those of us, those of you who watched The Wire and started to think about how... probably thought of that quote by Eric Burrell and said, this is Baltimore, fellas. The gods will not save you. And I got to tell you, man, I remember watching the video of that boat. Because, again, I woke up in the morning scrolling for my social media, as I shouldn't, because it's really not good for my mental health. Scrolling for my social media, watching this video of a boat heading towards a bridge. And I ignored it. I'm like, yeah, big deal. Honestly, I didn't read the headlines. I said, okay, cool. Had no idea it was going to be about how the fucking boat smashed into, what is it, March 24, blah, 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 Francis Key Bridge, crushed the nut, collapsed after the Singapore flag container ship, Dali struck a support pillar. Call me ignorant. Honestly, I'm thinking a support pillar. I figured, you know, boat would be like, ding, ding. That's the sound of the boat hitting the pillar and then bouncing back. I had no idea these bridges were built. Like, what do I know? Well, so, you know what? I wonder if there's a science on how much. So, what I know so far, without, because I'm not going to read it to you, I'm gonna go straight off what I point of impact call it. Yeah, what I've been, this shit's in cement. Oh, involved support of pillar before the accident scene. Okay, whatever. So yeah, because it's cement, I figured the boat would like crash and like it would be damaged more, like it would go down like the Titanic, shit like that. But What do I know? I'm no engineer. The idea that these engineers never... Okay, you know what? No, I know what happened. Again, speculating. Sharing ignorance on this podcast, in this segment. What likely happened is the engineer did say, hey, we need to put some safety measures in case some drunk idiot in a boat hits the pillar. And whoever was in charge said, yeah, how much is that going to cost us? You know, I'm trying to like, you know, I'm going to save cost here. You know what I mean? I've been involved in project management. And yeah, you know what? I don't know. Hold on. Kind of expensive. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. So, but boat hits the pillar, bridge collapse. Now, it's less about, now, in sheer white people fashion, because, you know, it's not enough for a tragedy to happen. How can we make this tragedy even worse? So the mayor of Baltimore, who happens to be a black guy, and those of us who've seen The Wire are not fucking surprised by that shit. Yeah, the mayor of Baltimore happens to be a black guy and did, you know, what mayor does. Like, yeah, fuck, thoughts and prayer, blah, blah, blah. Coordinate rescue missions and shit like that, blah, 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 blah. But of course, white people saw that shit and they were like, oh, of course, that helps. Fucking diversity and inclusion, fucking affirmity after fucked this up. Of course it's his fault. Now, you know what? I got a thought about this because I was talking about my conversation with a therapist about this shit, about how I'm going to make a confession. As much as I talk shit about white people, especially when it comes to diversity and inclusion, I'm realizing a lot of that hatred, a lot of that anger, actually not hatred, but anger comes from the fact that A, my inability to control what I can't control. Two, of course there's a white person out there who's like, my life ain't shit. God bless my work. You know, it's like, I'm less than shit. But the one thing I got going for me is I can blame diversity and inclusion for all my problems. For why my wife left me. For why my kids don't talk to me. For why my dog keeps shitting on my favorite shoes. Life sucks because of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So this asshole, people like that get to go on the internet. Okay, hold on. Let me get to my point. Get to go on the internet and talk that shit. And people like me will be like, oh, my whole day's ruined. I am not saying they get a pass. I'm acknowledging the fact that I've been bringing it up a lot, or I've been allowing these white people to use DEI as their new replacement for the N-word. Affirmative action hire, right? I actually had a joke about that shit, but I've been allowing this shit to fuck with me because on the list of ways that I allow people's perception to fuck with me, there's a certain distinction when it comes to white people. Again, I live in Ottawa. I go to school and I'm the one black kid in the picture, right? So I've been so like this whole, my relationship with white people, this race thing is like, it's a thing for me. It fucks with me. So I guess I'm admitting this whole DEI shit. It's like, yeah, it's next level for me. While acknowledging the fact, while realizing that a lot of it has to do with my giving too much of a fuck. Shout out to giving a fuck when it's not my turn to give a fuck. No, giving too much of a fuck of other people's perception of me, especially white people. Especially this idea that, of course it worked. Look, we had a collapse in, fuck that, I'm not putting it on Ontario. We had a collapse in, it's called the La Concorde overpass collapse. The La Concorde, right? And this was in Quebec Autoroute 19 near Montreal, Quebec. And I remember a whole section of fucking overpass fucking drop. It's the reason why every time I drive to Montreal, I'm freaking the fuck out. But as I'm freaking the fuck out, I'm not thinking about, yo, fucking this mediocre mayor, these mediocre white people who built this bridge. Nah, I'm just thinking about, I'm focused on possibly dying from a fucking bridge. And while I'm dead, I'm not thinking of, okay, hold on. Okay, I'm just saying, I still remembered when that overpass collapsed. And I was not thinking about race. All I was thinking about is how much, oh, fuck, I really don't want to drive. I love Montreal, don't get me wrong. I love Montreal. Getting to Montreal freaks me the fuck out. Not a big fan. It's just 2 hours, but, you know, that possibility of dying on the bridge. Because some white man, no, okay. Now, with that said, with me acknowledging that I can't control other people's perception about me, right? And I brought this up. Here's where I feel justified in my, this whole diversity and inclusion thing. People bring up diversity and inclusion being the reason for everything that's wrong in the world. It's one thing for Jethro from fucking buttfuck nowhere Alabama to be on the internet from his trailer park or from his RV, whatever the fuck, man, from his tent in a library using the free internet access in the library to talk shit about, yeah, it's fucking affirmative action fucked up that bridge. It's one thing for him to be saying that. It's another thing when it's a white person in a position of power. And I remember, yeah, why I brought this up. I feel justified. Okay, and it goes, I'm going to play this article, right? I'm going to have this read. And it's a Utah lawmaker blames DEI for Baltimore Bridge collapse despite cargo ship collision. Despite the, yeah, okay. So, Utah lawmaker. That's where my problem is. When a person in a position, a fucking cop, a person who does the hiring, the dude who drives my bus, owns my building or the property that I'm in, is able to say, yeah, you're fired. That's what bothers me. And you fucking black people are acting like, it's no big deal. Eh, kind of is. All right, sorry, as I'm talking shit, as I'm waiting for this thing to load. And the definition of insanity, okay, hold on, we've been here before, and this is not the first time that this motherfucker hasn't loaded. Hold on a second. It's thinking. It's thinking. It's doing some thinking. It's doing a lot of thinking. You know what? Okay, I'm going to work on my plan B here. As I work for this to load, I am going to do, damn, B, quit fucking around. You're hungry. Nope, this is the wrong episode. I'm going to, why is this thing not loading? Hold, bear with me. Oh, man. Okay. I really want to read this out loud. Oh, sorry, gang. It's going to try to, okay. There we go. All right, here we go. Fuck, that took a while.
Utah lawmaker blames DEI for Baltimore Bridge collapse despite cargo ship collision. Uh-huh. A close-up shows stacks of containers toppled on the cargo ship's deck after the bridge crashed following the collision.
Sorry, that's
photo, Mandel non-AFP via Getty Images.
Sorry, okay, that last part was about the caption. Okay, now I'm reading the article. Here we go.
Utah State Representative Phil Lyman blamed diversity, equity, and inclusion for the catastrophic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
Break it down.
Officials say a cargo ship caused the collapse when it struck a bridge support in the Patapsco River. Driving the news, Lyman, R. Blanding, drew criticism Tuesday when he shared a post on X from the Young Conservative Federation, noting that Baltimore Port Commissioner Corinthia Barber has a background in diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. This is what happens when you have governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of citizens, wrote Lyman, who is running for Utah governor. Between the lines, he later told the Salt Lake Tribune his social media team created the post, but he neither retracted nor disputed it, or his other posts Tuesday that characterized DEI as deadly. The big picture, the bridge collapse is just the latest in a string of problems right-wing activists have blamed on DEI programs.
Wow.
The other side, calling any and all failures of governments, institutions, engineering, or businesses the sole fault of DEI initiatives, has become coded for, they put black people in charge instead of white people, posted Wall Street trader and podcaster Ben Kahn. Worth your time, Axios' Zachary Basu and Sarah Fisher break down how X became a hotbed of misinformation about the bridge collapse. Editor's note, this story has been updated to include Lyman's comments to the Salt Lake Tribune.
All right, let me, I'm going to pop up the post. And is he the one that's going around being shared? Anyways, if you've seen your black friend talk about, sorry. Confession time. I clicked on the link where it says shared the post. Hold on, what the link title says. Yeah, shared post on X of, what's that dude? Lyman. of Lyman. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry, guys. All right, okay. Woo, get it together, be black. Get it together. God damn it. Okay. I clicked on the link, and the first thing I see is an image of a black woman. So for a second, I thought she was the author of the tweet. I thought she was represent Lyman, Phil Lyman. And no. The black woman is Carithia A. Barber, the person he's talking about, right? And he says, this is what happens when you, oh my God. Okay. Glad I made my own self laugh at this shit, because I was very angry. yeah, so this white man is pretty much, is using the, choose the reason, whatever, you know, complain about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Again, shout out to my homegirl, Rachel, for, cause she warned me. I mean, you know, she's, of course, it said, P, stop fucking listening to those headlines. It's just gonna fuck with you. And what do? Not listen to her. Like a true black man, I ignore the black woman telling me, to do the right, to do shit for my own mental health, for my own mental health sake. So yeah, okay, all right. I'm gonna skip. But, yeah, I'm going to stop there, man. I'm going to leave it at that. And just leave it as, you know, again, I feel justified when I say, if you want to be there with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. Okay. This one here is, I'm going to talk about another content creator who's going to talk about another, reacting to another content creator. It's kind of ridiculous, but welcome to the age of the internet. Okay. This one is, did I reload it? Right. Okay. I don't know if you guys know, but you're probably too young to know this content creator. His name is Kai, K-A-I. You know what? Before I do that, let me look up something. Make sure if this is true. Kai, I heard that he's an entertainer born in 1994. Nope. That's, No, not that guy. Oh, wow. Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to go. Oh, Kai Cenat. Sorry. Kai Cenat. That makes more sense. Sorry, guys. Woo. Kai space Cenat. There we go. All right. I'm going to, maybe I should tell you. You know, I should take a course in journalism. Because my thoughts are ahead of what I'm trying to say. Cenat from a Caribbean mother. From Trinidad and Tobago, father from Haiti. Brah, brah, brah. Okay, so he is Asian. Fun fact, I heard that Kai Cenat, he's an influencer on the internet, very popular character. And the reason I found out he was Haitian is because on my timeline, it's filled with bullshit. On my Twitter timeline, by the way, part of the reason I brought up the DEI factor in the bridge collapse is was also a reminder to myself, I need to get the fuck out of, fuck off Twitter, man. It's filled with garbage. Now, Speaking of more garbage on, I might as well make it up a podcast about the garbage on Twitter. So yeah, it's filled with angry black Americans who all of a sudden forgot that black is black and have allowed themselves. You know, I think they're trolls. They are trolls. And they like to talk shit about how, you know, all of a sudden people from the Caribbeans are a problem for them. And whatever. And how I found out Kai was Haitian is because he was like, yeah, that nigga needs to go back to Haiti. I'm like, whoa. Kai Cenat is Haiti? It's from Haiti? Well, anyways, okay. So, yeah, that's a good comment. That's a beautiful mix. Trinidadian and Haitian. Yeah. Oh, becoming estranged from his dad. Okay. Raised by his mother. I don't think he fucks with his Haitian side. All right, but he's from New York. That doesn't matter. Okay. Holy fuck. Get back. Back to the program, B. Remember, you're hungry. Okay. So this is a video. I was not expected of Kai Cenat reacting to, 50 seconds? I'll play it even though it's a minute. Yeah, I'm not going to play it. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to play it. But here's the point. Because this is a long-ass setup for a boring-ass point. It's a video of Kai Cenat reacting to Dr. Umar. Is that his son? Let's see what the caption say. I think it's his son bringing home a white girl. And if you know anything about Dr. Umar, he ain't down with Jungle Fever. Not a big fan of Jungle Fever.
Hey, baby.
Okay. Okay, Kai reacts to moment Davis introduced Dr. Umar to his white girlfriend. I don't know who this Davis guy. Actually, a similarity. I think that's his son. And if you're if you're familiar with Dr. Umar, yeah, not a big fan of Jungle Fever, right? And shit's not funny. Well, not to me. It's more like cringy than anything else. But the only reason I brought it up is because the way Dr. Umar. I'm not a fan of Dr. Umar, by the way, but I'm respecting the fact that he's a title. By the way, I got a bit about how what I really hate about racism is the fact that I got to be allies with niggas like Dr. Umar. But whatever. Okay. I mean, if white people were to, like, you know, get back to old tradition, okay, all right, we're bringing back slavery. I'm like, God damn it. All right. Looks like I'm in the unfortunately, me and people like Dr. Umar are sharing space in the trenches. That's my point. All right. Okay. Where am I going with this? Oh, yeah. The way Dr. Umar treated the situation, it reminded me of, shout out to you Soprano fans, of that scene where his daughter brings home a black guy. Now, they're not dating. They're supposed to be friends. But, I don't know, maybe, whatever. He got a hint of, you're trying to piss me off, but whatever, right? In the same way, the daughter plays, well, in this particular case, the daughter, Mello, you could Google this scene, right? When Tony meets, what was his name again? What the fuck was his name again? Not Abraham. sorry. I'm trying to remember what did he call him again? Because he was half black and half Jewish. I can't remember. Oh my God, yeah, I'm laughing at the slurs used on The Sopranos to describe. Oh, it was awful, man. But okay, focus. Meadow, his daughter Meadow brings home a black guy. They were doing an assignment together. But she knew her fucking dad was fucking a piece of shit racist. Whatever. And at some point she goes, okay, I just gotta go to the washroom, step out. So Tony Soprano has time with, okay, I'm gonna speak to you like you've seen the scene, all right? If you haven't seen it, that doesn't matter, right? So, like you're a Soprano fan. So Tony has time to hang out with, fuck was his name again? Oh my God, it's killing me. Shit, again, brain is not cooperating with me today. You know what? If you're familiar with this podcast, my brain rarely cooperates with me when I'm on a podcast. Okay, hold on a second. Jesus Christ. Soprano It's just driving me nuts. I can't remember homie's name. Sopranos, black guy home. Holy fuck. He meets his black boyfriend. The fuck was his name? Shit. And it's a common name. Shout out to those of you losing their mind saying be black. It's Noah. Jesus Christ. Should have thought of the Bible. Noah. Fuck. Yo, again, man, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably one of the most patient human beings on the planet. All right. Okay. I've lightly drove you nuts with it. So I was in the middle of explaining how watching Dr. Umar react to, I imagine it's the son bringing a white girl home, reminded me of that scene of Meadow bringing Noah to Noah meaning Tony Soprano, and the similarity is more how both were like talking to the way Dr. Moore was talking to that white girl and Tony was talking to, is pretty much letting you know, hey, your friend, potential boyfriend, whatever, significant partner, didn't do you any favor by they set you up. I don't like you people. Granted, Dr. Umar was probably a bit more polite about it or more diplomatic about it, but it reminded me to, yo, bitch, you got set up. And I gotta tell you, man, I think that's grounds for dismissal. If anyone's been put in that position, yeah, I want you to meet my dad. Oh, your fucking racist dad? Are you like blind that he's a piece of that he doesn't want anything to do with me? Well, I thought he, you know, I'm looking at the time. All right, okay, I'm bringing that up. Holy shit, I went from being in a better mood to like, because I'm hungry. All right, I'm making a connection because I was talking to a friend, because this is the last item on the Case and Knack story. I'm transitioning to the last story. Is a friend of mine was telling me how, again, I live in Ottawa, the national capital region. There's probably for every 100 white person, for every 100, there's one black person for every 100 white person. The ratio might be worse, but a friend of mine today was telling me about how she went to a comedy show. A friend of hers invited her to go see a comedy show. Now, of course, she went to an open mic comedy show, which means the quality is even is not open mic type comedy show. I say open mic, but my point is, her white friend brings her out to a comedy show, and she walks in, and you know, you don't think about the fact that you're the only black person until your spidey sense start tingling. I'm like, ah, fuck. Some racist shit's about that. That's the only time we rarely think about, oh, look at all these honkies here. If we think about that, it's more self-preservation kicking in. It's like, I really hope some shit ain't going to happen. So she goes to this comedy show. And I should mention that it's on the French side of the NCR, National Capital Region, and across the bridge. Not to say that white people or French white people are worse than English white people. I'm kind of saying it, but I mean, like, you know, it's their racism is like more potent. It's kind of like the equivalent of the South and North. It's potent. I'm just going to say it's. Anyways, she walks in this comedy club, you know, experience. And of course she says, and it's the MC white dude, guess the race, made, I forget the joke, but it was a similar joke to, was trying to make a similar joke to, the one that Guillaume Lemaitre-Vierge did there, the French guy. I probably talked about it, the French white dude who basically stood in front of a tree that had the N-word in there and was making reference to a French expression that used the N-word. The point is, hey, I found a clever way to use the N-word. And the thing that bothers me about this shit, two things, is one, the poor soul. How she was the one black girl in the audience. And of course, from what her story, no one, you know, everyone acted like, man, nothing happened. Whatever. Fuck, it's just a joke, you know. But I think what bothers me is it. Her story reminded me of something I hated about the local scene in here. Is the fact that it's a sea of white people, and you can be the one black person in the club, right? And it's like, yeah, we're going to make jokes at your expense. I think I hate when white comedians, especially in this fucking city, put the one black audience member or the small amount in the, like, they came to laugh like everyone else. Shit's going on in their mind. Some people tell themselves, look, I'm going for some shit. I know. I'm going to go to a comedy club. And some of these asshole comedians, to them, it's not, no, fuck that. In their mind, they're not serving you. You're serving them. You're serving their ego. Oh, shit, a black person in the audience. I'm going to make a fucking media. I'm going to make a bad black joke that white people will find funny. No, no, not white people. White people who are unfamiliar with black people, who have no black friends, will find funny. And you're just going to have to take it. And if you don't laugh, then I'm going to start blaming that. Oh, fuck. Holy shit. I'm a white man. I can't make jokes anymore. Fucking diversity and inclusion. Eh, whatever. Yeah. I fucking hate that. I hate the idea of any performers who gets on stage and acts like the audience is there for to stroke their ego when you're on that fucking stage to serve them. That's one first thing. Second, what bothers me, and I'm linking it to the Soprano and Tony Soprano and Noah situation, is how her white friend brought her to this show. Oblivious. Dear white people, don't bring your black friend to a comedy show in Ottawa. I didn't know they were going to be racist. How the fuck did you not? Sorry, I'm laughing, but I'm angry. I'm laughing to keep myself from crying. You know, I probably thought I was going to bring up this because I knew when I get emotional, I tend to talk too much. All right, so I'm just venting. I was going to bring it up, but because I saw the similarity between Dr. Ubar meeting his son's white girlfriend and Tony Soprano meaning Meadow's black friend and the friend of mine I was just talking about who gets invited by their white friend to go see a comedy show where they're the only black person in there. Look, all I'm saying is, you know, shit happens. Okay, yes, I agree, shit happens. But if you're the white friend, you need to fucking, oh my God, not apologize to me. You better like, okay, you know what? You want to make it right? Go fuck up the MC. Go tear a new one out of. Let them know that, hey, I brought a friend here to be entertained and you fucked up. Fuck you and your mama. It's like, whoa. Anyway, yeah. You know what I mean? You know, I'm going to, one last analogy. I've been watching X-Men 97. Shout out to Fantastic Freddy because she put me on to it. When I said she put me on to it, I was aware of X-Men, the X-Men show. But she was praising that, yo, man, this show's, okay, she doesn't talk like that. But she was like saying some good things about it. I found myself watching it. And I found myself thinking of Cyclops. Is it Cyclops? Yeah, that's his name, right? The guy with who wears visors. And he's got to wear visors to regulate his powers. Because if he opens his eyes, he's destroying a country. I don't know how powerful the ray of beams comes out of his eyes. But he's got to wear those visors to regulate it. And I found myself thinking about my emotions. I'm working on regulating my emotions. I mean, part of me, when I heard the story from my friend, all I could think about is driving to that comedy club and beating the shit out of that comedian. Now, I want to explain to you, I'm not a violent person. I just talk like a violent person because I grew up listening to hip-hop. I'm not that kind of person. My point is, I was so emotional, full of rage, that I was counterproductive. all I could think about was fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. But there is a way I could use this shit to my not to my advantage. I could, yeah, I like, if I, if I was the version of me I want to be, I would show up to his show, present, and then roast the fuck out of him. But I mean, like, not just roast, but I mean, I would like what Kendrick Lamar said in his rhyme, man. I'm trying to, I'm trying to turn your fans into my fans. By the time I'm done with you, they're like, yeah, who? They regret the fact that they fucked with you. Again, that's if I could get myself to be the version that I need me to be. But in order to do that, I need to, like, calm the fuck down, B. But until then, I'm like Cyclops without the visors. All right? Okay, that's it. Man, I feel good about that. That was a dope-ass analogy. Fuck you for not agreeing. All right, okay. All right, final thoughts, boys and girls. Nice, nice, not bad. Final thoughts. And, yeah, we get the fuck out of here. So, sorry, let me get my mouse working. Let me get my pointer working. All right, okay. And then let's go. You know, I kind of feel like I'm preaching, and which is not my intention. But here we are. Here we are. All right, okay. You know, I'm going to send a message to Black Fat Fam podcast. There's one of the episodes that I was listening to, and I forget the name of the guest. And she said something that I really like. She said, yo, man, and I'm paraphrasing this, but yo, man, talk your shit. Get on the internet, talk your shit. Don't worry about being the most popular podcast or whatever. Just talk your shit. Because there's a market out there for people who just enjoy listening people speak about their speaking about things that matter to them. And I guess it was a hopeful statement. It was inspiring to hear that. Shit, now that I said it out loud, now I have to write that message. All right, okay. All right, okay, here we are. I kind of wish they listened to this podcast so I didn't have to write the message, but yeah, here we are. Okay. All right, what's up with today's title? Now, for those of you, like I mentioned, that I usually I don't tell you where I got the song from, but or where the poetry that I'm reciting comes from, but I said it out loud. It's from the Machiavelli album, 7 Day. Oh, I really hope I mentioned that part. Yeah, Machiavelli album, Don Columinati, 7 Day Theory. And the track is Blasphemy. Now, what made me think about that song? Bear with me. Hold on. Pay attention. It's a long story. It's not a long story, but I tend to make short story long, so but bear with me here, okay? Two things. First thing is, one thing's for sure is the title. to read it. Drug Dealers, Thugs, and Killers. It's my way of saying that's not me. At my last therapy session, I had a moment. No. At my last therapy session, it was pretty much a repeat of a similar message or something that my therapist keeps trying to ingrain in me. You are not like them. So you got to go about your problems your own way. You can't be using other people's solutions to fix your problem. You are not. Like, I got to remind myself that, which is why I started out in the intro with a quote about, you'll never know who you are unless you shed who you pretend to be. So I'm struggling with who I pretend to be. And being that I grew up listening to hip hop, you know. This whole, you know, thug. I am not a thug. I wish I was. Sometimes I wish I was, you know, mainly because of how the image was presented to me. But that's it, right? So, yes, the title is simply me saying that's not me. It's another way of saying I'm trying to be myself. Second reason, because initially I was going to go with I was thinking about, this is kind of funny now I think about it, right? Initially, I was going to go with the song because I had it playing at the same time while thinking about, on Monday, about this episode, or coming back from therapy. It was Not Like Me by 50 Cent. Yes, that would have been my second track by 50 Cent that I use to find a title for an episode. And the part where he says, yeah, if you get shot and run to the cops, you're not like me. And I was going to joke about how, yeah, if you don't run to the cops after you got shot, you're not like me. Anyway, yeah, so that was initially was going to be the title, but I was going to go with a 50 Cent song. But then the Diddy shit happened. Oh, I forgot to put a link. Okay, I'm going to put a link to, like, I don't know where we're at. I'm not going to read the news, right? But I am going to say that, was it a Monday or was it Tuesday? I remember going on my timeline and it was cluttered with jokes, stories about P. Diddy. P. Diddy, no Diddy. The Diddler. And it was, yeah, I laughed my ass off, but Jesus Christ. So, from what, apparently, Diddy's on the run from the feds over some, like, allegations, man. Fucking, I see the word sex trafficking is enough to be, oh, wow. Okay, yeah, you're done, dude. Fuck, I don't want to hear. They're allegations. But I'll be honest with you. I remember enjoying these stories while thinking, oh, come on, man. Are you being one of those people who takes pleasure in seeing a celebrity go down? Like, what exactly is that all about? And it hit me. Like, why am I so invested in this? Because remember, these are allegations. We don't know if it's true. They're allegations. But then I remembered. I remembered. I had a moment like, I remembered how when Tupac died, how there's a possibility that Diddy might have been involved in his death. And also, Pac didn't like Diddy, so I don't like Diddy. So I kind of feel like a little bit like Arya Stark. I'm looking around and I'm pretending like I'm staring at an audience going, what the fuck? Who's Arya Stark? The fuck, really? Motherfuckers didn't see Game of Thrones? All right, okay. Arya Stark was at the season 7 after she kills her enemies. Spoiler alert. And I love that line. She says, when they ask what happened here, tell them that the North remembers. So seeing Puffy going through all these fucking difficult times makes me feel like Arya Stark watching the enemies of her family, of her close ones, perish. Now, sure. Puffy ain't in the grave yet. Ain't in the grave. But the fact that he's going through all these hard times, I feel like I'm saying this is for Pac. Fuck you, nigga. Fuck you. Part of me still feels like, yes, the attachment to Pac. So why does that have to do with Blasphemy Song by Pac? Honestly, okay, it's kind of a stretch. No, it's a stretch, right? Because Puffy's going through these hard times, and on that same album, Don Caluminati, there's a song. What do you call that? Against All Odds. And yeah, he's got a lot to say about Puffy, man. But I love the line where he says, "You and I know what's going on. Payback. I knew you bitch niggas from way back." You know what? Let me find the actual lyrics. What's the actual? He says, "Against All Odds." No, not by Phil Collins, by Tupac. And the line goes, look, man, I got your time. What time is it? Yeah. Oh, my God. Focus, BK. I forgot that's not really the point. He goes, where is it? Puffy get on vibe like a bitch to hide that fact. He did some shit. Okay, I'm going off the top of my head. I'm surprised that okay. I'm remembering it. To hide that shit that he riding for that. Okay. You know what? I was going off the top of my head, and then once my brain start realizing, holy shit, we're doing it! And then it's feeling me again. Okay, the line goes, Puffy, let's be honest. You a sucker. Let's be honest. You a suck. You a punk. You see me with gloves. Remember that shit you saw me on Vibe about me being a thug? And you can tell the people you want with whatever you want, but you and I know what's going on. Payback. I need your bitch niggas for way back. Oh, yeah, okay. But what about the other one when he says Puffy get on Vibe like a bitch to hide that fact he did some shit? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, my God. Okay, it was a long-ass stretch. But just to say that I was thinking of, I was trying to make a connection between those two and then Blasphemy. Wow, that was a long explanation. All right, okay. Yeah, Diddy in the news, feeling like Arya Stark. Okay, now, getting back to the idea of not me. Two points I'm going to make, and then we get the fuck out. Yeah, everything I'm not makes me everything I am. I am going to play this clip here. You know what? No. I'm going to save this for another episode. I was going to put, basically, it's a quote by, or something that consciously said about ADHD Awareness Week. And that's the thing. And the only connection I was going to, because he's making a different point, but the only thing I was thinking about is I have a friend who, she has ADHD. And he and her struggle and how she went from not knowing she had ADHD, finding out she had ADHD, and then being treated. It was a journey into accepting that I am not like them. Now, I think I have ADHD. But one thing's for sure is I'm a neurodivergent. And it's another way of saying I don't think like everyone else. I don't process shit like the majority. I think it's called neurotypical, right? It's like being, I know it's a pessimist. It's like being an introvert. Us introverts are a minority. When you realize that, you know, you're in a minority, you have to accept that, okay, your world is different from the rest of it. So I've been having by me accepting that I'm not like them, it's also accepting that I got to figure shit out by myself. On my own self. Figure these things out. Yeah. And the last point I'm going to say about is, oh, yeah, drug dealers on the title. Drug dealers. Fuck. B, are you really forgetting the title of your episode? I'm really not hungry. You know what? I'm not forgetting how hungry I am. Drug dealers, thugs, and killers. It kind of sounds cool saying it out loud. You know, it makes me feel cool saying it. Drug dealers, thugs, and killers, even though I'm not like that. Oh, right. I was thinking about there's a post in the Highly Sensitive People subreddit. And someone asked the question, how do you deal with breakups? Especially when caused by factors outside either person's control. I don't have much of a support system either, unfortunately. And I really love that question because it sent me from memory lane. And it reminded me how... oh my God, because of my inability to accept that I was a highly sensitive person. At the time, there wasn't a word for it, or at least that I was aware of. Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, it was called being a bitch ass nigga. So, like most highly sensitive people, you're in denial about the fact that you're a highly sensitive person. Again, not the fact that your feelings get hurt easily, but more the fact that you experience the world slightly differently from the majority of people. You have a personality trait that causes you to experience the world differently from everyone else. Because of my inability to accept that trait about myself, I convinced myself that, yeah, man, yo, fuck that. Yo, heartbreaks. I can handle, heartbreaks are no big deal. I can easily bounce back. I remember telling myself I can easily bounce back ex-girl to next girl, which was a fucking lie. When I'm hurt, I'm hurt. And what I didn't realize by not accepting the fact that it takes me a while to process a heartbreak or to accept the fact that, yeah, no, it's okay to cry. It's okay for your feelings to be hurt because of a relationship didn't work out. It's okay. You played this game of love, you know, and casualties of war. Breakup is part of the process. What I wasn't paying attention to is, because I wasn't able to say it's okay, what I wasn't paying attention to is the fact that subconsciously I was avoiding relationships. Excuse me, unconsciously. Wasn't paying attention, but I knew I was avoiding relationship because to me, a breakup was the worst thing for a human being to experience. It gets deeper than that. A breakup is the worst thing to experience. I can't tell you. It gets deeper in the sense that it's even worse to be the one who initiates that breakup. Because in my mind, I'm telling myself, oh, wow, I'm going to put this other person whose only mistake is not being compatible with me through a shitload of pain. Because I know what that pain is. And for me, it was, I prefer being the person who gets dumped than being the person who breaks. That's how fucked up it was for me, man. I'd rather be the person who gets dumped than being the person who does the dumping. Yeah, that sounds disgusting. And I remember being in relationships where I pretty much waited for the person to dump me, to break up, to initiate the breakup, because I didn't have the courage to do it myself. And let me tell you something. It sucks waiting. Luckily, I didn't do some asshole shit like cheat on them. I didn't do the shit like that. But, you know. But I mean, it's like I made it obvious that, yo, this shit ain't not working. Anyways, I remember, yeah, so after getting dumped a few times, I'm like, you know what? This relationship, I didn't make that conscious decision. My brain took it upon himself, okay, breakups suck. So unless you find a perfect relationship, we're not going into relationships. Like, I avoided relationships. My brain found creative ways to avoid relationship. Hey, baby, can I get your number? Okay, cool. Yeah, you're never going to call that number again. Oh, wow. Shit, we're getting along. Yeah, nice try. You're not going to ask for her phone number because she's got way better off. My brain found every reason to not be in a relationship. Now, you know what sucks about this? I got to warn you for a first time listening to this podcast. I am not offering solutions. I am not offering any solutions. I am just a guy who thinks things, who thinks out loud, who processes problems out loud. You know what's fucked up about that is I remember reading somewhere that, you know, that's a woman's trait. Women tend to process their problem by talking it out. I do the same thing. I just didn't do it out loud because, you know, I'm like, I don't want you to think I'm a chick. Anyways, yeah, that's back then when I was less enlightened. I was a less enlightened person. I was unaware of my misogyny. And yeah, of course, you know, fuck, I don't want people. If I have women's trait, it's for me to get rid of. And whatever. So, again, I am not offering solutions. I am talking out loud. Now, I say this shit not as someone who is cured. I say this shit, I'm acknowledging that. I'm realizing that because of my inability to accept who I was, my brain was like, okay, all right then. Well, no relationship for you. I say this, but my brain might continue. Yeah, I'm not saying this as a cured person. I'm just saying this as someone aware. It's kind of like saying that, yeah, I'm realizing I'm drinking my sixth bottle of beer, man, even though I was just 2 days sober. Yeah, so I could talk about the problem while repeating the problem. Yeah, anyways, all right, okay, all right, yeah. Again, talking out loud. But this is just me being who I am. With that said, this concludes today's episode. Okay, 8 minutes over. All right, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. First time I say that. Yeah, hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. As always, check out the links are in the show notes. Check out the show notes. They're broken down into four sections. First three section represents the act of the podcast, and the links are according to everything that correspond to everything that I was saying or the discussion. And there's an extra link section called Other Links. And Other Links is just, it's another way of saying cool links, things that you might find interesting. And they usually start from serious to less serious or more entertaining. Oh, sometimes in the other links, you'll find shit that I may have consulted and that influenced some of the shit that I said in this episode. With that said, repeat, this concludes today's episode. If you want to holler at me, you can find me on these social medias, on Twitter, using Instagram, Threads. Oh, Twitter, Instagram, or Threads. Who the fuck is using Threads? I say Threads just because I'm trying to sound hip, but I rarely use Threads. But Twitter, Instagram, Threads, the handle is Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok, it's at shutuppodcast.com. But seriously, if you're really serious about finding me on the internet, please just go to shutuppodcast.com or use my email, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the podcast, or, you know, look me up on the other podcatchers, or most podcatchers. All right. Thank you for listening. Damn, I like to talk. Thank you for listening. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Peace. No. Back up. Sorry. Didn't mean to scare you. I mean to say, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.